welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Helias Crusaders. I'm your host, Tony Hawley. I'm sitting here with Tom Rackers of the News Tribune, and before Tom and I start to dice things up this week, let's listen to a little bit of Tom's conversation with Helias head coach Chris Henches.
Chris, just a quick look back at the Hickman game. It took a little bit, quarter and a half, for it to get going, but once the offense got going, it started rolling.
Yeah, and it did, but you know, also too, it was some special teams that kind of helped that too. A couple block punts put us in short fields and scoring positions, and we executed a little bit better, and you know, that snowball started rolling downhill. And I mean, we scored three touchdowns in about 5.5 minutes, 6 minutes, and we went from a 3-point game to a 24-point game, and you know, took control of the game, and we're able to extend that lead in the second half.
You know, Clay Thurpers comes in to start in the center and didn't miss a beat. Line didn't appear to on the offensive line.
No, I was pleased with the way he, he and Aiden were really in close competition throughout fall camp for that job.
Yeah.
Mason did a good job. Aiden, and they were really neck and neck. And so we have a lot of confidence in Mason that him to come out. And we got some bad news this week, and Aiden's going to be out for the year. That's a season-ending injury, and you always hate that for a kid, a senior who's fought so hard to get into the starting lineup and, you know, has done everything that we've asked him to do in his 4 years. He finally wins the starting job, and to have an injury like that, he just actually tore the ligament and dislocated his kneecap. And so it's requiring immediate surgery. So he's done for the year. But, you know, those things seem to happen every year to one senior, and you hate that. But I know he'll be a valuable part of the team moving forward. And I thought the offensive line really rallied around Mason's leadership at the center spin, because that is an important position.
Yeah.
You make all the protection calls, and, you know, Mason's a very smart kid, and, we're just going to move forward and hopefully continue to grow as an offense and offensive line.
And defense, a shutout. Those are never bad, are they?
No, that's good. You know, anytime you can pitch a shutout, you give your team a great chance of getting the W. And you know, we played so many young kids in the second half too, and for them to go out and continue to play and keep that shutout was great.
You know, this week battle coming here on tonight, they are an offensive team, aren't they? They've got some potent players.
Yeah, when you look at them statistically, offensively they've averaged 35 points a game and 400 yards. But defensively they've given up more than that, points and yards. So, you know, I think they're struggling to find an identity defensively. But what really scares you about theirs are offensive potency. And they got a very athletic quarterback with a lot of experience, a running back that, you know, seems to have started for 4 years with them, and very explosive running back, and good pieces all around. So we're going to have to play really good defensively. I know our defense we've had a good week of practice, and Coach Pitts has a great game plan. I think the boys are going to go out and execute it well.
You know, Dunn at running back and Goolsby at quarterback, they are very capable of any time just breaking a long one.
Yep. Yeah. And we preached a lot this week about, you know, stand in your rush lanes, containing the quarterback. We want to put pressure on him and make him uncomfortable, but we can't flush him out of the pocket without contain and allow him just to be an athlete on the edge. You know, you've seen it on tape. I mean, he's very capable of taking it the distance if we don't have good contain rush. And this, you know, the same thing with Dunn at running back. You know, he can take a play that's designed to go off tackle right and bounce it and cut it back way left and end up scoring a touchdown. So we have to be very disciplined. Our backside of our defense has to really watch that cutback. And if we do those things, we feel like we have a game plan that, you know, that can slow them down.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, that was Helias head coach Chris Henches. And Tom, we're kind of right where we expected we might be after 2 weeks into the season. I don't know if we were expecting maybe, you know, a shutout last week, but you'll definitely take it. So 41-0 at Hickman, that's, you know, that what can you say about that one other than kind of probably win according to plan?
Yeah, there was a little weirdness at the start, not weirdness, but at the start they didn't play. They, in my opinion, offense didn't play all that well.
Okay.
You know, and you know, Chris and I talked last week that no, the focus was going to be there. This is a conference game. But really, you know, after a big win on the road at Hannibal, you know, playing Hickman, who you'd beaten eight times in a row,
right?
Was your focus necessarily going to be there? And I'm not, I don't want to say that it wasn't, but you know, talked to a couple of people after the game, said, yeah, maybe it wasn't quite where it needed to be. But you know, they were up 3-0 middle of the second quarter and got the ball back, and then just decided to run the ball. And yeah, they ran it, got a touchdown, got the ball back, ran it, got a touchdown, blocked a punt, one run touchdown, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, three touchdowns in a little more than 3 minutes, and you're up 24-0 at halftime and cruising.
Yeah. So they'll probably the less said about that one, the better, other than, you know, obviously it gets you to 2-0, which is what you want to be. I think it's not a surprise that the Crusaders are 2-0 at this point. What it is a kind of a surprise is that you're playing an 0-2 battle team at this point, because it's kind of two teams going in opposite directions, which we maybe didn't see coming from Battle, at least as we went into this year.
Traditionally, you know, Battle is a quality Class 5 program.
Right.
And I'm not saying that they're not quality this year. I'm just saying, you know, an 0-2 start for them is a little strange.
Yeah.
So, you know, offensively, they're scoring. I mean, they're averaging 35 points, 400 total yards a game.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they've given up 69 points 1 week and 41 points last week.
Right.
You're not going to win doing that.
And that 41-32 loss to Capital City, I think, was the kind of the score, I think, of especially around this area. Maybe not across the state, but definitely in this area. That was the one that I think raised everybody's eyebrows last week, because it wasn't necessarily maybe the Capital City one, but it was the amount of points they scored, the fact that it was a decisive victory. That was one of those where people kind of went, huh? You know, because not only did it put Capital City at 2-0, but it puts Battle at 0-2, and it just, you know, it's not one of those things you maybe expected going into last week.
Yeah, to me, and you know, I'm not going to lie, I did not expect Capital City to win the game. So I'm wondering right now, congrats to the Cavaliers. I'm just wondering right now, does that say more about Capital City and how much they've improved, or does it say more about Battle and where they're at?
Right.
I don't. I mean, well, you know, the season will figure that out. But,
sure.
Yeah, I was genuinely surprised, because Battle, again, very talented, always has a lot of good athletes on the team, and you know, to start 0-2 is a bit of a surprise.
Yeah. So I guess the thing is you kind of wonder, okay, that's still a small sample size, you
yes.
know, and in 1 week can change it. You know, when we're 3 weeks in instead of 2 weeks in, things can change. I think the big thing will just be to see, you know, is the defense going to keep giving up that many points for them this year, or can they get that corrected? I assume if you're Elias, you figure out, let's just keep piling on if we can, and let's not them give anything to you know, maybe right the ship. So what do maybe they do, or have they done in those two games that maybe Elias might look to take advantage of in this week 3 matchup?
It's hard to say, you know, because you talk about small sample size. Well, if you watched Elias's offense the first quarter and a half against Hickman, you thought that, well, they can barely get out of their way.
Right.
And then they got it turned on.
Sure.
So there's always that chance that switch could flip for Battle
right.
at any time on defense. Now, the thing is, they've run a 3-front. They've run 4 fronts. They've run 5 fronts.
Okay.
and right now, it's been 0 front. It's been working. 0.
Right.
So, you know, you kind of wonder what they're going to do. I think Elias is expecting them to come out in the forefront. They've kind of settled that in the last, you know, week, you know, last week and then a little bit against Park Hill. You know, is it scheming? Who knows? But, maybe – again, they have athletes. If things start to click, that defense could probably turn out to be pretty good.
Right.
You just kind of hope, if you're Elias, it's not tonight.
And then on the flip side, on the offensive side of the ball, what has Battle done to score that many points this year? Where they, again, that doesn't seem to be the problem right now. So what have they done to be successful on that side of the ball?
Well, see, Ricky Dunn is back for seemingly his 10th year at Battle, I swear. You know, a bit of a joke. Yeah, I think he started all 4 years. Back at running back, really talented, really, really good. Can just a big kid, can just, but it's got the speed. He can pound it, or he can just break one on you. Justin Goolsby is back at quarterback. He was all CMAC last year. You know, he hurt you with run and pass. You know, he ran for a 92-yard touchdown against Capital City, just broke through the line, and he was gone. So they have kids that they can score.
Okay.
And so, you know, Hawaii's defense, which I want to stress, last week played very, very well in shutting down Hickman, and the week before holding Hannibal to 21 points, for people that saw, you know, them against Jeff City last Friday, know that was kind of a pretty big effort to hold them to 21.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, the defense has been pretty steady. I don't know that Battle's going to be able to score enough maybe to win.
Okay.
I mean, we'll get to the pick later, but You know, it's going to be a question of how can Hawaii control those two kids especially.
We're almost 6 minutes into this, and I've been loath to mention that 7 o'clock Friday night, yes. Home game, first home game of the year for the Crusaders. So, you know, not that it's been, you know, a big, long road game last week. You know, you only had to go 30 minutes up the road. But it's always nice to play at home. And so what is maybe what comes differently this week than maybe comes with, you know, a road game week for the Crusaders?
They're kind of happy to be home. You know, it's they haven't they want to play in front of their home fans.
Sure.
They have a chance to come out and see them. You know, Chris and I talked. It's not in the part of the podcast interview, but later on we talked for a good 5 minutes about, you know, just home games and things. And it might be in the story in today's goal lines. It might not. I have to wait and see. The story's a little long. But to break it down, like in Chris's first tenure as head coach, he said they noticed that they played really well on the road and struggled sometimes at home, and they couldn't figure out why. And so they tried something that basically that they're doing to this day. They kind of treat it, for lack of a way to put it, as a road game.
Okay.
The top 40-ish players don't, as soon as school's over, don't go home. They come over to the facility. They hang out in the, you know, the trainer's room or down the locker room or in the film room watching a movie, and, you know, they feed them a little bit, you know, and just so they can relax and just kind of, you know, team bonding, whatever.
Sure.
You know, and they hang out there, which would be, in theory, like the bus ride.
Right.
For a road game. And then about 5 o'clock, the rest of the team comes back, and that's when they start their routine, their normal pregame routine. And he said, since we started doing that, we noticed we're playing better at home.
Okay.
And a lot of it has to, you know, the idea is they're getting good food in the kids before the game. The kids aren't out running around doing whatever, you know, for the hour and a half before the game. They need to be back. And he said, it's really worked out for us. And I looked at the numbers, and it really has. You know, they for a long time, oh, what's up? This was a really great road team, big bonding on the bus. Well, now they've kind of got that way at home, too.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, it was kind of fun to listen to his ideas, you know, Chris, why they did it and how it's worked out.
Sure. Well, and it's always nice when you can, sometimes it's hard to seize upon that magic bullet. Sometimes you're looking for it, and can't find it. So it's kind of nice when you do stumble across something. And, you know, I'm sure they probably tried other things, you know, a variety of things before they got to that point. But it's always nice when you could finally find that one thing that you need to find.
And he says, you know, we're not superstitious. We don't serve them the same food all the time. You can get caught up in that. They're not eating that again because we played bad.
Right.
So we're not getting caught up in that stuff.
Right.
But it's just kind of generally what they try to do for every home game.
Yeah. We're 2 weeks into the season. How's the overall health of the team at this point?
Chris told me, and I think was part of the in the interview, Aiden Martin, starting center, senior, is out for the year. Injured knee.
Okay.
They get dislocated a kneecap and tore a ligament or something, and it happened. And they were kind of hoping that he could come back later in the year, but it's not going to happen. You know, Mason Cleethermas started for him up at Hickman. Played very well. You could not tell the difference in the starting line.
Okay.
And so just pick it up and come on. You know, Chris said, you know, this seems to happen to one senior every year and it just makes you sick.
Right.
And he said this happened to be Aiden this year. You know, Aiden, I was at practice Wednesday. Aiden was there. You know, so, you know, that's a shame for him. But, you know, season goes on.
Yeah. Other than that, anything that stood out to you, maybe just in terms of, you know, week two, in terms of, I don't think we talked about it last week, but I know a couple of the other guys mentioned that they saw a little more cramping issues than they were kind of expecting the first weeks. And do you see anything in the first 2 weeks that popped out to you just in terms of overall play or how things have gone, you know, on the field wise this year?
No, the cramping at Hannibal was a little bit of a problem for both teams, but I didn't see a whole lot of it last week at Hickman. And,
okay.
And I think that, you know, with the weather getting a little cooler and kids kind of getting more used to hydrating,
sure,
in the proper way, not just slamming 16 waters on a bus on the way up.
Right.
But, you know, I think that's done. And you know, right now, you know, week three, quality of play better be pretty good.
Yeah. All right. I guess it gets us to the prediction point of the podcast. And I think I kind of know the way you're leaning, but how do you see this one playing out tonight?
I don't know. You know, I think keeping battle off the scoreboard will be difficult.
Okay.
You know, they're just going to, they have the ability just to break one or two. But I just don't know if they can keep Hawaii off the board, you know, enough to win.
Right.
I think Hawaii's going to get multiple touchdowns. I think 35-14, Hawaii.
All right. That should do for this week. For Tom Rackers, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune. And get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Tom Rackers on Twitter at TJRackers. Thanks for listening.